heart beats faster and faster.
And as I looked down the dark hallway, the specter stared back with dark, soulless eyes. Guys, it's Sunday night. You know the drill. This is your Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
Oh, that's right. Paranormal broadcasting where you never asked for it, you never wanted it, and you never thought it could happen, but we're coming at you live anyway.
Hey, gang, we are live in studio, and wait a second. We are back live in studio, and we'll be in the GD chat room all night long.
And you can log into that chat room by going to our website at www.ghostanddemon.com.
This is the Ghostman Sean B.
And that would make me Nathan S., a.k.a. the Demon Hunter.
And this is the Sunday, June 21st broadcast of the GD show.
The Ghostman and Demon Hunter show is independently produced by Nathan Schooner and Sean Burris. Broadcast live on Omnisound, Absurd Radio, Planet Paranormal Radio, and is recorded for Planet Paranormal Radio, the Black Vault Radio Network, and Para X Radio.
It's our last show for a while, man. We're going to have some fun with it, guys. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Gowan?
No, I don't know.
Tonight's guest, guys, get ready for this extreme weirdo and author of Weird Pennsylvania, Weird Maryland, Weird England, and The Odyssey Continues, Matt Lake stops by to talk weird, crazy, and just downright insane tonight on the G&D show. Yeah, get ready for it. Yeah.
And you know, Sean, when I tell you guys the story of how we wound up getting Matt Lake tonight, even that is weird.
Is it?
Yeah, and you can imagine why. It's because the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show is beyond the normal broadcast, and it starts right now.
Are you heathens and hooligans? You won't get the hell out of here. Follow someone else for a while now, brother. I can use a beer. Don't need you and I don't need this. I want to make this perfectly clear. Listen up, heathens and hooligans. You want to get the hell out.
And now, the original Bad Boys of Paranormal, and your host for tonight's show, Ghostman and Demon Hunter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I gotta get my pin.
I'm gonna miss Bob for a while.
It's gonna be tough. Hey, Paranormal Broadcasting, you guys that are serious, get out of the way for a second. This is our hour on Sunday night. And we're gonna add our own little special magic with Nathan the Demon Hunter and Jay. Jason Gowan, everybody.
The Naked Investigator.
I'm naked.
What's that?
I want to hear you again. Say it.
I'm naked, and I'm doing tonight's broadcast completely nude.
See? With butter on him, guys. He's wearing butter right now for you guys.
You scare me, Gowan. You really do.
It's like a Jiffy Pop butter. His nipples pop out when the popcorn starts.
I'm going to make Jiffy Pop on my nipples at some point during the broadcast.
Everybody loves Jiffy Pop.
Wait, I'm looking through the book here to make sure we can say nipples on the air.
You can say
it. Yes, we can. Oh, we can say nipples. It's okay.
Body part, you should be able to say it.
There are body parts you can't say.
What?
Like you're going to trick me into saying them. No.
The middle of the chest area. Whatever. Hey, guys, I'm coming at you live, 70,000 leagues under the sea. I was out there today. I was deep underwater. I can't tell you much about that, but I was.
Yeah,
thank you very much. Thank
Sean,
you.
Sean, you usually come to us with a few air bubbles in your brain, so it's okay.
Well, I can't hear out of my right ear, Demon Hunter. So if you bleep me out tonight, I might not know. So you got to tell me early if I'm going to mess things up. You know what I mean?
I love that he anticipates that he's going to get bleeped now.
But Nathan Gowan was talking to me this week about the new game that came out. It's a hot game. Jason,
tell us all about it. Isn't it incredible?
It really is. Tell us all about it. I want to hear it.
It's, well, anyway, it's on all the systems. It's the Ghostbusters, the video game. And this game was took them 3 years to make. The script was written by Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis, the original writers of the Ghostbusters movies. They got all the original voice talent, except for Sigourney Weaver, to come back and do the voices. And it plays out like a third movie.
Huh. Was Sigourney Weaver too hot now? Is she like Alien? She doing another Alien or something? What's up with that?
No, it was going to be kind of like a tiny little project, and then she actually did try to get in later on after she found out Bill Murray was going to do it too, and by that time they already had hired Alyssa Milano to replace her.
Oh my God, Alyssa Milano! See, guys, I got to tell you, I spent a many, many, many dark night with the poster of Alyssa Milano in my room. And I grew up to be the man I am today. That's
weird. I used to do the same thing to Dan Aykroyd.
See, it happened. And Bill Murray. I had a poster of Bill Murray, too. He was hot. Bill Murray. It's like the Murray Show. The Murray Show. Murray.
T-M-I, guys.
Too much info? Well, that's what you get on the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show. Did you hear the fart machine?
Unfortunately, I do. I do hear it.
Because I changed the batteries in it. It's very precious. It's a G&D show thing. We got the fart machine there.
Well, and as Sean said earlier, and everybody knows, you're not going to hear the fart machine for a while coming out at you live. But remember, we've got our old archives out there on Planet Paranormal. Be sure and check them out, Planet Paranormal. I think we have just about anything, everything we've ever done. Is now on
well, you never know. We might be on TV, so we might be using real fart machine. You know what I'm saying? Real gases, guys.
You know what scares me, though, guys, is we have gotten used to being in different locations when we broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
Sean, you're in Indianapolis. Gowan's in Pennsylvania.
Naptown.
I'm in Connecticut, and we don't see each other during the broadcast. And for any of you who have been at a convention when we're all together, it just gets wild and crazy. And I'm pretty sure we can expect the same thing when we're on TV.
I don't know. I'm kind of nervous. Oh, my goodness. What dress am I going to wear?
Just make sure it doesn't clash with mine or it's not the same one.
That's true. That's true. Or Gowan, he likes to wear those tube top kind of dresses.
Well, here's the thing. I actually am having a private designer design all of my
No, outfits. You're not.
Yep.
Are you getting a private designer to design your new hat, Gowan?
Because it's this big designer. I believe they call he's very big and very popular. It's called his name's Walmart.
It's called Gimps and Leather. I'm sorry.
Those are for deleted scenes for the DVD only.
Actually,
I've been on the air.
I've seen Gowan's pleather collection, so it scares me there. I've seen the photos anyway. Your vinyl pants, your vinyl pants and the dog collar.
He looks good. He looks good in vinyl pants.
Well, thank you, Sean. And here's the thing. I the dog collar was the girl's idea, and she was a little wilder than I had anticipated, and that was a dark period of my life. I really wish we hadn't talked about
it. See, we brought it up tonight. Let's bring it all out tonight, guys. This is our last show for a while, Gowie. Me, you, Nathan. It's our last show together on the air. And we should bring it all out. Bring it all out together. All your, can we say sexual on the air?
Well, Sean, before we start talking sexual and scaring people, let's remember to congratulate all the dads out there today for having a happy Father's Day.
Absolutely. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers around the world, because Demon Hunter, we get out not only in the great United States that we live here, but we all around the world, we get out to all the dads out there. And remember, any man or any person can have a baby. Is that it? But only
no.
takes a man to raise a child. Is that
well,
it? I'm on like beer 13.
I think you're a little off there, Sean, because any person can't have a child. Only women can have a child. But,
the man has to be, kind of in there. He's got to be in the equation somewhere. Usually. Or a turkey baster.
Well, I know, Sean, you are not only celebrating Father's Day today for your two sons, but you have a baby girl due on Tuesday.
Due on Tuesday. Any day, guys. She's holding her belly. She's going, ow, ow, ow. And I'm down here in the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Studios doing the show. So that's the way it happens. That's the way you got to do it.
Do you think it's going to be tonight, Sean?
I don't know, but I really appreciate the curse you put on me tonight. You said that I will have the baby tonight, Gowan, so I appreciate that since I've had like 20 beers. So
that's going to be an interesting.
I'm sure it's coming tonight. I really am.
That's an interesting drive to the hospital. Yes.
Yeah, we'll call an ambulance. We can ride together.
Well, I want to send a happy Father's Day out there to my brother Ernie, who has three daughters, my beautiful nieces, and my nephew. My nephew is Michael, and he has two wonderful sons. And happy Father's Day out to both of them. I wish my father a happy Father's Day, but wherever he is, I know he loves me.
You know, that's absolutely right. He does love you, Nathan. And you know what? It's weird about being a daddy, guys. Even though you're apart from your kids, they always know you're daddy. And it's a special thing. You want to talk about paranormal beyond belief? It is. And to be a dad, it's a great thing. And it's a scary thing at the same time. Because you have these little miniature versions of yourself. And you hope you don't make too many mistakes, you know, but you try the best you can and you do what you do. And hopefully you get a paranormal broadcast on the internet and you do what I do. So now it seems to be working out.
Sean, here's a little paranormal question for you. How do you deal with being a dad in the paranormal when your kids start asking you questions about ghosts and demons and things like that?
You know, that's a good one, Nate. Gowie, that's a good one because the boys are scared of the paranormal right now. But my oldest, that's seven, he remembers when I used to go out in the field quite often, and I did investigations and stuff. And when he asked me, you know, Daddy, he pretty much says, ghosts aren't real, right, Dad? And I just say, well, you know, they're not going to hurt you. Nothing's around you that's going to hurt you. Everything's going to be fine. And just keep him kind of centered. And hopefully when he gets older, I'll be able to sit down and tell him some of the experiences that I've seen and heard and he can take his own beliefs from there, you know, which was a heck of a lot more than I had when I was growing up with religion.
Yep. No reason to scare him young. I agree.
Yeah. You know, at least I got EVPs and stuff like that to let my kids listen to and let them draw their own conclusion, you know. So I was pretty much banged in the head since I was young that you go to church Wednesdays, Sunday morning, Sunday night. And I went to a Christian school there for a while and that's the way you do things, but, you know, we all know that there's different ways to do things. So my kids are hopefully growing up in a community where they can make their own minds up for themselves. They don't have anybody badgering them in any direction. So I think that's the right way to go.
It's not bad to point them in a direction because you don't want your kids so open-minded that their brains leak out. You know?
Right. Got to stand for something. You got to stand for something.
But, you know, hold on, let me just tap my cigar. I went down to Buttheads this week to pick up my cigar, Sean.
Buttheads!
Buttheads Tobacco Emporium in Danbury, Connecticut, and I bought a nice Cassano vintage cigar. But when we started the show, I decided to smoke one of the Cohibas that our friend Jerry gave me.
Was that rolled on the... Jerry gave you one of those?
Yep, he did.
He didn't even give me one!
Well, that's because I'm cooler than you are.
I guess so. Those were rolled on the thighs of Asian women. That's all.
Were they? Were they? Okay.
That's what Gowan told me.
Is that what that taste is?
Yeah. Suntan.
Oh, come on. Who doesn't love Chinese?
Who doesn't love Asian? Come on, guys.
I'll tell you, one of the funniest events of my life was going into a Chinese restaurant with Jason Gowan, and I do not make fun of any particular race or anything like that, but we just had such a blast because Gowan could not stop talking in a Chinese accent.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know what you're talking about, Nathan. That never happened.
I remember it finally because you did it for so long that I started being unable not to do it myself. I kept coming out with the same kind of things. And I think we were doing the South Park accent.
Yeah, the South Park one.
So,
well, you know what, guys? I think we should tell the listeners one more time why we're going to be gone for a month, why we're not going to be on the radio. I think we should tell them one more time, guys.
Yeah, all three of us are having them work done.
We're having work done. We're going to be women when we come out of this.
I'm just having liposuction, so.
Yeah, in all the wrong places, guys. He's going to be a woman. He's going to be a hot chick when he comes out of this. It'd be your ghost
Natalie
man. Now
over.
Uh-huh.
The comments of Sean Burrs do not represent those of Ghost Man and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
That's so I don't
that
sue you.
That was Gowan. How that, comes I got that?
That's so
that
I don't Gowan. Sue you, Sean.
Well, that was Gowan. I didn't say nothing. I just agreed with you.
Ay, ay, ay.
Might have to alter that.
Yes.
What a night, guys, though. What a day. Like you said, guys, happy Father's Day to everybody around the world that's listening, guys.
Hey, I want to send a special Father's Day thank you. Well, I don't know if they celebrate Father's Day there because it's kind of an American holiday, I believe. But I want to thank our friends in Helsinki, Finland for being the International Listeners of the Week, for tipping the scales for Ghostman and Demon Hunter and getting the our message out there. They had the most downloads this week in international listeners, and thanks, guys.
You know, I got to tell you guys, I got to add, the professor is in the chat room right now, and he sent me a website, guys, and I am so sorry I don't have it on me right now. Professor, if you could tell him in the chat room, you guys have got to go to this website. You have got to check out the professor. This guy is dead on. He will tell you what's going on before you know what's going on.
Which for Sean is all the time.
Yeah, he's been on the show a couple times. We love the professor. He makes some crazy predictions, and they always come true, guys. They always come true.
Yep, they do with some pretty good accuracy, I must say.
I have to apologize to Professor because he sent me a link to go to YouTube to watch his prediction that he made, and I don't have it on me, Professor. If you could put that out there, I apologize so much. If you could put that out there in chat room, we want people to go there because the Professor is mystifying. He will blow your mind.
Well, let's get back to where we were, guys, because Jason, Sean, and myself, we will all be gone for the next month because we will be filming our new television series for A&E. We're filming the first few episodes to get it out there. So when it comes out, be sure and watch so that they want more.
Yeah.
But it's going to be Extreme Paranormal. And guys, like we said, the three of us together, what you will see, even I can't. Maybe the professor can predict it.
Right. And remember, what you see from the Ghostman side is all created by Budweiser. So thank you so much.
Only if you see it through his eyes.
That's right. That's right. It's bought and paid for, guys. So, but I wanted to go right into the news tonight if you and Gowie doesn't have anything to add. Do you guys?
I don't think I do. Do you, Gowie?
I'm good. Nope, I'm good.
I wanted to tell you guys right off the bat, because you need to know this, guys, that the world as we know it ends on July 4th. Are you guys ready for this?
I think I saw that movie, but go ahead.
No, it's happening. July 4th, guys, the world ends. So get ready. Cash out all your bonds, stocks, whatever. While fireworks
Wait.
What?
The comments of Sean Burrs do not represent those of Ghostman and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
In case anybody actually believes you, Sean.
While fireworks burst overhead this July 4th, a monumental cosmic event will be taking place unwitnessed by the mass of humanity. In the midst of our patriotic celebration of America's birthday, the world as we know it, guys, will come to an end, and a new order of creation will emerge to take its place. By divine decree, God will judge all mortals who are alive today and who have ever lived in the past, deciding on eternal fate. When the judgment is complete, the world will be changed forever. That remarkable vision of our future is shared by four of history's greatest seers: John the Baptist, Mother Teresa, Merlin the Magician, and the Native American prophet Black Elk. I'm going to add Jason Gowan, too. Jason Gowan, too. Says Professor Elias Willis, an expert on prophecy, the Bible, and the end of times. In my research, which I have been pursuing for more than three decades, I have pored over the writings of these visionaries and the oral tradition surrounding each of them, and I have done so dozens of times. Willis says Such is the miraculous nature of their prophecies that I find something new every time, guys. So there you go. You got four big cats.
Now, right?
You got the Indian
that
cries when you throw trash on the side of the road. He says the end of the world's coming July 4th. Black Elk and the Magician Merlin. That's the big one right there.
Now, wait a minute, Sean. Where did you read this?
I can't tell you where I read it. This is top secret stuff. July 4th, I want everybody to be ready because the end of the world's coming.
Okay, Sean, I will keep that in mind. It figures it would happen just before we go and film our show, you know.
Absolutely. That's the way we've been going, man. That's that's how it's going to happen. So go make babies, guys. Go make babies. You got to the 4th to do everything. So what do you guys think about that? You think it's going to happen or what?
I think I'm not too worried about it, but
you're not worried? Oh my God. Let me fart on you. Okay, there we go.
No, can't say I'm too worried about that. Hey, Sean, before you go to the next story, I wanted to just throw out our tip of the week there for all our listeners. This, again, comes from our friend Terry from Ghostly Designs. And Terry, a.k.a. Ghostly Designs, listener of the show and a friend and a fan. Never really looked. Don't know if it's a he or a she.
Sahishi.
Yeah, had that surgery too? No. Wanted to give us a tip for the week, recommending that we bring a few chemical light sticks for emergencies on ghost hunts.
Chemical light sticks, I'm with you.
Sticks, they tend to be cheap, usually less than a dollar each, and they last for hours, but when your batteries go dead, you don't use them to ghost hunt. You use them to tie to dangerous locations, holes you don't want people to fall in. We've all seen me do that. And other hazardous
Jason's
spots.
Jason's been known to fall into holes every once in a while, you know?
Low-hanging beams and things like that you might hit without working flashlights. So get yourself some chemical light sticks. I imagine they'll probably be on sale this week for 4th of July. So get out there and get yourself some. Because that's our tip for the week. Be sure and bring some chemical light sticks with you when you go out on investigations.
I recommend you tie them around the bottom of your pants. That way, if your pants come off, you know where you started from. You know what I mean? That's what I would do. That's what I would do.
I believe you would, Sean. I believe you would.
Gowan, don't you have anything to add? Come on, chemical light sticks. Come on, end of the world on the 4th.
I don't know. I'm uncomfortable talking about any sort of glow-in-the-dark suppository as a general rule.
I never said suppository. I don't know where your mind is, Gowan. But
what are you talking about, man? Nathan, sometimes... All right,
wait. I do believe
sometimes
Terry...
Sometimes you gotta read between the lines.
I do believe Terry is a guy. I just want to get that out there so I don't sound totally lost while we're doing the show. I should have looked that up beforehand. But my notes are over on one side of the room and I'm on the other. So...
I'm glad that Terry probably knows he's a man now. You've announced that. He is a man. He's not a woman. All kinds of stories.
Give me
guys,
more news. More news, Sean.
From the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show vaults, because we do scan the globe for the greatest paranormal, what am I trying to say here, news that we can bring to you guys. But I got this one. It's real hot, guys. Gowan, Demon Hunter, hold on to yourself, listeners. Stay calm. Is the devil back in town? Some say he is. Satan's footprints return, guys. You ready for this? I don't think you are, but I'm going to tell you anyway. In a bizarre repeat of one of history's strangest events, an elderly woman awakened to find strange footprints in the snow, prints that some say were left by the devil himself.
Ooh.
All right? Yeah. Here, fart.
What size shoe does he wear?
I'm going to tell you, elderly retiree Jill Wade discovered the hoof-like prints in the snow in her backyard. I couldn't believe it, she said. The residents of Devon, England, the footprints were in the shape of a cloven hoof. There were no other marks at all in the snow. I'd love to know what it was, scientists from the Center for 14 Zoology have spent. Are we doing the drinking game tonight?
We must. I am right now. I don't know about the rest of them.
Drink up, guys. Have spent several months investigating the case. They report that the prints were 5 inches long and spaced to indicate a stride of between 11 and 17 inches. The Vaughn was the scene of a famous event on February 8th, 1885, when the villagers woke up one morning to find a line of hoof-like prints that wandered through the town. Huh? What's Gallons going to say? He's going to say something.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, did anybody witness it as the devil?
Well, that's what they're saying. They witnessed it. No, they didn't see him, but the hoof prints. Eerily,
yeah,
the hoof prints.
I mean, that could just be a pig who got loose and he was wandering around in the night.
Well, this is what I'm going to add. Listen. Eerily, the footprints were found to stop at tall walls and gates, only to continue on the other side, as if whatever made them had simply walked right through solid stone and iron. The trail didn't stop.
It was one of those pigs with wings. You see them all the time, Sean.
Or it could be Babe, and he's rustling up sheep.
That's true.
You guys ruined my segment. I want to see you naked now. Okay. The trail didn't stop at houses or buildings either. Instead, the prints would end at the wall of structure and continue across the roof. Guys, explain that. Residents have been unhappy with the local church for changing the prayer book. Many took the footprints as a sign that the change had indeed been a mistake and had allowed the devil into their midst. The bizarre phenomenon was never explained. It's difficult to explain how a creature last noted in the mid-1800s could return after so much time to do the exact same thing, says Dr. Elizabeth Krimmer, a zoologist.
Take a drink, everybody.
Take a drink. Why have more of these tracks not been seen here or elsewhere? It's a real mystery, they say, guys. But apparently Satan is happening, guys. He's happening right now. He's in England, and he's leaving these hoof prints, and these people are tracking these hoof prints through the yard, and then all of a sudden when it gets to the house, they go up on top of the roof, and they see the hoof prints on the roof. So it's like this thing has jumped on the roof, walked across it, and came back down the other side.
Now,
Same thing with stone walls.
Here's the thing. The professor and I were talking about it on the chat room, and I grew up on a goat farm.
Yeah.
And I used to have goats that could jump on the roof all the time.
Whatever. Goats?
Goats. They jump, man, like you would not believe. And
were you like 3 feet off the ground, your roof?
No, my very first goat used to be named Ghost, believe it or not. I had a goat named Ghost when I was a little kid.
Gowan, there's all kinds of jokes here, man.
And the goat could actually jump 12-foot fences that we had, so...
Yeah.
I feel like it's like shooting fish in a barrel if I take some of these, Sean.
You got to. That's why I do these stories.
I thought it was for the drinking game. All right, Sean, you got 1 minute left for one more story. Come on, give us something.
Oh, my God, I don't know if I can fit it in, guys. I've been drinking so much. But anyway, we got another one from the Paranormal Archives of the Ghostman Demon Hunter Show. And Jason Gowan, of course, Gowie is like we like to call him. Oregon woman obsessed with rabbits arrested again. I had to bring this story up, guys, because it's just crazy. Get ready, hold on to your hats, your butts, whatever. Portland, Oregon. Washington County's bunny lady is back in the hutch after violating court order not to own or control animals for 5 years. Miriam Sikewicz, drink up guys, 47, was arrested again Tuesday at a Tigard hotel after an employee reported finding rabbits hopping around in her room.
Okay.
Problems for Sikewicz, that's her last name, guys, Sikewicz, started in October 2006 when Hillsboro police found and confiscated nearly 250 rabbits in her home, including about 100 dead ones in freezers and refrigerators. Kind of sounds like Gowan there. Police said she broke into the facility. Police said she broke into the facility where the survivors were being cared for in January 2007 and stole most of them back. Authorities found her a few days later in Chelles, Washington, with 8 live rabbits and 2 dead ones in her car. Another 130 were recovered at a nearby horse farm. She was placed on 5 years probation, banned from owning or controlling animals, and was told not to go within 100 yards of rabbits or Gowan.
She's a witch.
She also had me in a cage for several months.
See? I know. She caught me, too. The rabbit lady's hot.
She's
a witch. She's a witch. Burner. Burner.
She wears thongs and tassels.
You can say that. I was spending too much time taking craps on the floor, so she's like,
I got another story, guys. I got another story, but you're not going to let me read it, are you?
You know what, Sean? If you can read it in 2 minutes, I'll let you read it, but then we have to go to break to bring in Matt Lake.
Okay, guys, I'm going to go to 2 minutes. Gowan, Nathan, stay with me. It's raining tadpoles in Japan, guys. Bizarre it may seem, but the sky is said to be showering tadpoles over Japan. The apparent downpour of tadpoles in central Japan's Ishikawa Prefecture has baffled residents. In fact, clouds of dead creatures have fallen from the sky in many cities in the region since the start of the month. Media reports said, in one incident, a 55-year-old man who was caught in the tadpole downpour described hearing a strange sound in the parking lot of a civic center in the city of Nano. And upon further exploration...
Well, I'll tell you this. If my date goes pretty well later, there's going to be raining tadpoles here as well.
See?
Well, see, you know, Gowan, I was just thinking, Sean is the only man I know who has tadpole envy. Make of that what you will.
There you go. I love tadpoles. And upon further exploration, he found 100 dead tadpoles covering the windshields of cars in an area measuring 10 squared meters. Dead tadpole downpours were also reported by local officials 48 hours later in the city of Hosuken. In the same prefecture, British newspaper The Daily Telegraph quoted the Japanese Kiwata News as saying, drink up, guys. The raining down of small creatures such as frogs and fish is a rare meteorological phenomena that is reported from time to time across the world. Scientists have widely attributed the surreal raining of animals to strong wind, storms, and water sprouts sucking up creatures before depositing them further inland. However, this explanation has not satisfied meteorologists in Ishikawa. Officials at
Sean, I can't handle too many more drinks.
I gotta do it. Officials at Kanazawa Local Meteorologist Observatory told local media they were unsure how the tadpoles had arrived, as there had been no reports of strong winds at the time. However, dismissing this theory, a researcher at the Yamashina Institute of... I give up, guys. Just drink. Anyway, this researcher says that they believe it's for strong winds from tornadoes and such that pick up these animals from lake bodies and then put them down into a downpour over top of your head, guys. So that's why it's raining tadpoles in Japan. It could come to the U.S. real soon, so get ready to see dead tadpoles on your ceiling or your car window, whatever.
Well, the way it's been raining up here in Connecticut, I expect it any day now.
You guys screwed up my segment.
Sean, I can't even stand up at this point during the break because of all I've had to drink. What are people going to do Sunday nights to drink without us on the air for the next month?
I don't know, but I'm sure we're going to get sued by the Associated Press because I'm just not reading these stories right, man. Of course, guys, those stories were from the Associated Press and the, of course, Sun-Times in the news. Of course, get ready for 4th of July. That's the end of the world, guys, so get ready.
Well, get ready for our guest right after this, Sean. Mr. Matt Lake of Weird Pennsylvania, Weird Maryland, Weird England, and what's the other one? The Odyssey Continues? Yeah.
Odyssey Continues.
I have not seen him since Gettysburg.
Well,
Gettysburg.
When Matt comes on, I will tell you guys the story of how Matt wound up being our guest this week. So stick around.
How you guys became lovers. Stick around, guys. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Waverly Hills Sanatorium audio experience. Take an 80-minute audio tour inside one of the most haunted locations in the United States. Available on iTunes and CDBaby.com. 100% of the proceeds go to StompOutCancer.com, a nonprofit charity that is working hard to help kids and young adults fight cancer. For more information, go to www.StompOutCancer.com.
The Darker Side of the Moon is an alternative talk variety show.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
Since 2006, host Becky Ray and Laura Moon speak with independent filmmakers, authors, musicians, artists, and many, many more.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
Sometimes serious, mostly fun, the show has a little for everyone. Was it odd, freaky, and you didn't hear it on the 5 o'clock news? Then we'll probably cover it here.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
DarkerSide currently airs live Monday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, which is 7 p.m. Central and 5 p.m. Pacific.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
If you happen to miss it, you can listen to show archives at any time online at DarkerSideRadio.com, or you may subscribe to the show on iTunes.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
Hey, this is Nathan S. of the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show. When we needed a logo that would tell people what we were all about but was different from anything else out there, we went right to Loki Graphics at LokiGraphicsInc.com. We love the artwork that owner and illustrator Jonathan Sullivan came up with so much, we ordered our t-shirts and banners from Loki Graphics right away. They provided us with high-quality graphic art, screen printing, and helped us pick out the best value for our t-shirts and other products that fit our budget. LokiGraphicsInc.com is the official graphic designer and screen printer for the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. Phone, email, and postal orders are all accepted, with contact information available on their website. Shipping is available for any order, or if you're local, you can stop by the shop and pick up your finished product. Check out Loki Graphics at LokiGraphicsInc.com and tell them the Ghostman and Demon Hunter sent you.
I'm Tim Yancey, inviting you to explore the fascinating realm of the paranormal. Ghosts and hauntings, Bigfoot, UFOs, and alien abductions. Join me live every Sunday evening at 9 p.m. with the foremost authorities and experts in the world regarding the mysterious realm of the unexplained. The Encounters Paranormal Radio Series, as heard on WBZT 1230 AM. EncountersBroadcasting.com.
Hi, this is Tom Mott of Michigan's Other Side and Michigan MUFON, and you're listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
All you heathens and hooligans, come on and get the hell out of here!
Hey, we're back. I've had a few drinks thanks to Sean tonight.
I'm trying to read the news. It's international. Well, I was trying to do it right for our guest tonight, Matt Lake, because, you know, half these stories come from overseas. I was trying to read them professional, but that just didn't happen.
It didn't happen. Do you know, Sean, wait till you hear the story of how Matt wound up being our guest this week on the show.
Okay.
You know I am flipping a house in New Milford, Connecticut right now, trying to get it ready
and
for resale.
And turning tricks on the street corner.
I'll tell you, it's just a heavy house to flip, but I'm managing. But as I was walking around with the phone in my pocket, apparently, it rang. I picked it up, and the person said, "Hello?" And I said, "Yes, this is Nathan." And he said, Nathan Schoonover?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "It's Matt." And I looked, and sure enough, it was Matt Lake, and apparently I had butt-dialed Matt just as I was thinking that we needed a guest for this week. And Matt was...
I always butt-dial Matt. I love it. Makes me feel like a man.
You know, so apparently it may have been paranormal. Who knows? Because I needed a guest for this week, and there was Matt. So, Matt, welcome to the show, and thank you for returning my butt-dial.
You're very welcome.
Well, Matt, I just...
There's 5 minutes of voicemail on my voicemail of rustling and, you know, house painting and, you know, and muffled Nathan talk, but yeah, it's completely incomprehensible.
The scary thing is I was by myself.
Oh, Nathan must have been on a date.
See?
There was muffled Nathan talk, but I was by myself, so that's really scary. It's
well, that's when a lot of that muffled talk happens, you know?
At least that's when it's hottest.
Yeah.
Apparently, I've butt-dialed
Jason,
too.
You know, Matt, we got you back on the air, man. It's been a while for the Ghostman Demon Hunter show that we had you back, so you got to have a lot of, "Hello, governors," and stuff like that, you know? We got to add that.
Well, good bloody John. Right turn, I know, mate.
This bloody show?
You know what's funny, Matt? The last time we had you on, we had to have you on 2 weeks in a row, because I believe... the show actually cut out on you, and we were unable to broadcast. So we wound up doing it twice.
Yes, I do recall there being technical problems there. I just assumed that your studio was haunted or something of that ilk.
No, but we just have crappy equipment.
No, it's haunted. It's haunted.
We are on the haunted woods of Danbury, so you never know.
Well, this is shocking, actually, I must say.
Say, where are you at now, Matt? Are you like in Amsterdam sampling the world's greatest drugs right now, or what's going on?
Do you ask that because I sound like I'm sampling the world's greatest drugs?
No. Well, you know, I just wish I was with you.
No, we just assume anyone who would come on this show is probably stoned. It's
that's stone cold sober. I'm on about 71 pages of a book that I'm reading, actually. And I think you'd probably dig it, actually. It's called Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Oh!
Have you heard about this yet?
Have not heard about this.
This is 90% Jane Austen and 10% zombie ninja mayhem. It's a brilliant idea. There's a fellow called Seth Graham Smith. Basically, I think he must have taken an English course and thought, you know, Pride and Prejudice, not a bad book, just not enough brain eating.
Zombies. I need more zombies in it. Okay.
Yeah, more death, more suppurating flesh, more death, and those Bennett girls should really be ninja trained, you know, because they've got nothing else going for them.
I can just see Christopher Walken walking into the room as Jane Austen is writing it and saying, "I like it. It just needs more zombies."
Now, Matt, I know you was tuning into the Ghostman Demon Hunter show. You know the end of the world is coming July 4th. What are you doing to prepare for the end of time on July 4th?
I say what I do every July 4th. I put on my red coat and I go down to Baltimore Harbor. And it's usually the end of the world for me because they take offense because there's something to do with Fort McHenry and seeing some flag by the dawn's early light or some such nonsense. But, yeah,
and your red thong. You wear your red coat, red thong, and you go down there.
I'm a red socks. Oh, actually, the red socks is a... Do either of you know this is a brilliant tale, the tale of the Revolutionary War hero Wayne, Mad Anthony Wayne, by any chance?
Do not know that story.
No, he was a general who worked for the what's the name of the father of his country, George somebody or another.
Oh yeah, that king guy.
No, the other one, the Washington.
Oh, Washington. Okay.
Yeah. He worked for George Washington and was a general in his own right. And apparently he gave my people some real trouble back in the Battle of Stony Point. You know, it's one of these people where, you know, he was a crazy general. But he wore red socks. This was the whole red shirt, red sock thing. You know, just kind of, yeah. Not red shirt, was it the red coats and the red socks? He was a red sock. It's one of these great burial stories that you get from time to time. He was actually, I don't know, you know, he's heard of Fort Wayne and Waynesboro and, Fort Wayne. There's Wayne counties all over the nation. They're all named after this guy, the General Mad Anthony Wayne. He was well on his way to, he was basically presidential material. A little wild. He was, he'd had some, crazy behavior because he was a bit of a soldier man, really, and he was great in war, basically he was presidential material. He was just coming back from negotiating a treaty with I think four or five tribes of Native Americans in Ohio, he was basically to secure the borders, and this was towards the end of the 1700s. And he died up in the top left corner of Pennsylvania. He was on the shores of Lake Erie there. He just took ill quite suddenly and died. And they buried him on the spot, as was the tradition. But he was from southeastern Pennsylvania. So he was from the bottom corner, the bottom right corner, and he was buried up in the top left corner. And right after he died, I mean, basically he became the hero. People, it was like when George Washington died, it was like when JFK died and Martin Luther King. People named places after Mount Anthony Wayne. That, like I said, you know, Fort Wayne, Indiana, all the Wayne counties in the nation, you know, they're all named after this guy. And in fact, there's a town very near his hometown of Paoli in Pennsylvania that's named Wayne, just Wayne. So Wayne, Pennsylvania is named after this guy. About 13 years after he died and was buried, they took him up to, basically his son took, you know, took a horse and cart 400 miles with a little box, and he was going to get the bones up from, you know, sort of where he was buried and bring them down. They were going to rebury them in his family plot, basically. And so up he went, 400 miles, small cart, small box. When they exhumed the body, this was 13 years later, you mind, he was pretty much intact. He got like one foot that was going a bit bad, but basically he was like a full guy.
And this was before embalming.
Yeah, exactly. This was before embalming. Yeah, he drank a lot, but I don't think that had anything to do with it. It was 13 years.
He could have been pickled. Yeah.
Yeah, he probably was. Well, that was the lake effect up there in northeastern Pennsylvania, northwestern Pennsylvania. It can get very cold with the winds off of Lake Erie. But who knows what it was? Anyway, it was pretty much intact. If you ever go to Erie County, Pennsylvania, if you go to the Erie County Historical Society, they've got a brilliant exhibit there. The exhibit in question is. Well, basically, it's a big cauldron that they used because, obviously, his son Isaac, in order to bring the bones back down to Pennsylvania, he went the entire diagonally, the entire distance of Pennsylvania. It's about 400 miles by cart. He wasn't going to carry an exhumed body there. So he basically, literally, he paid the doctor $50 and said, just give me the bones. So the doctor basically... you know, sort of filleted the body and, sort of like hacked away as much as he could off the bones there, and then basically boiled up the rest of them. And basically he put the meat and the Mount Anthony Wayne stew back in the hole where they dug him up from, and then gave the bones, still slightly warm, in this box to his son. And then, you know, sort of he went all the way down across the state of Pennsylvania to be reburied. And we're just coming up on it's the 200th anniversary of the reburial. And in Wayne, Pennsylvania, coming up in August, there's going to be some massive celebration of the two graves of General Mount Anthony Wayne. It's just one of my favorite stories. And I got into that solely because you mentioned red underwear. And he wore red socks.
You know, Matt, it's funny. You're about the only person who can start talking and tell us a story that shuts us up. So
Matt's got all kinds of stories. Well, we already know, Matt, that you're with the guys from Weird US. You're with Mark and Mark. So we already know that you're a weirdo. We put that out at the beginning. You are a weirdo, and you write about some great books. You have written some great books that I own. I'm proud to own here in my own personal archives here at the Ghostman Studios. And I just got to say, what's it like? How does it feel to go around and write about these places? I mean, do you encounter some of these things? What's going on?
I love it. I thoroughly enjoy it. I'm an old school magazine journalist by trade, and this particular gig with the Weird Guys has been going on for 6 years now. It's just been, it gives me the opportunity to do all kinds of bizarre stuff that I wouldn't have done otherwise. Over the Christmas holiday, I went up to a place in West Virginia where there's a guy. You'll have seen these fiberglass roadside statues, like there's Bob's Big Boy and that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And the muscle men. Well, there's this guy in West Virginia. He's a George Farnham and his wife. They have an alpaca farm out there. I've got a photograph of these things. Hang on a minute. Let me just have a look and see how many there are now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He's got 6 of these things in his front yard. One of them is 22 foot high. I went up to see him over Christmas time because he's just got a Miss Uniroyal, who's one of the few like girl statues in this fiberglass statue thing. So he's got a couple of muscle men. He's got a surfer dude. He's got a Miss Uniroyal. Miss Uniroyal, incidentally, in a bikini with tattoos.
See, Jason Gowan is our Miss Uniroyal.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why we keep him around. He poses good as the female, you know, statues. And we go.
Well,
with
I
him.
Have.
Now, Matt, you authored 4 books now for Weird US?
Wait, what?
Well, I'm the sole author of 3 of them, and the 4th one, the one that came out most recently, which was just towards the end of last year, is one that Skirman, Moran, and I co-authored it. So there's three authors on that one, me, Mark, and Mark. Actually, Mark and Mark and me. Yeah, I've got to give them credit. They did come up with a weird concept, but we've been working together. I was working with these guys from the outset, editing. I edited the first book, Weird New Jersey. I edited the second book, Weird US, and then they said, okay, go off and start writing them now. So I did that, but we came together and I did a book with the two Marks.
Well, you know, my buddy Eddie is such.
That was the whole U.S. That one.
My buddy Eddie knows that I'm such a fan of yours that for Christmas, he got me the Odyssey Continues book, and I meant to have it here in front of me to talk to you about stuff in the book, and of course it's downstairs in my office instead of upstairs in the studio. So.
Of course, I've forgotten all about it because you know I don't know what I've been doing since then actually, but I could probably. There's one story that I'm really glad to have revisited that I started out writing about in the first book that I wrote, Weird Pennsylvania. There was a great story from Western Pennsylvania of the Green Man, who was he was one of these figures that supposedly he would go out walking by night and he would have a hideously deformed face and he would, you know, like smoke cigarettes, and the cigarette smoke would come out through a hole in his cheek. And teenagers, this was going back to the 40s and 50s and 60s. This story went back that far.
You got me. I walk around there at night. It's true.
I know you're hideously deformed, but no, this guy was apparently even more so. On the first book signing tour that I did of the for Weird Pennsylvania, somebody came up to me and said, you know, I looked at the Green Man story and you got it wrong. And I said, well, you know, there's lots of different stories. Every urban legend's got lots of different variants to it. And he's going, no. The Green Man's real. And you know, I thought, well, okay, I'd get the picture, you know. But he said, no, the Green Man's real, and fished out, it was a woman actually, fished out 5 photographs of this guy. He said, this is my dad with the Green Man, and this is my uncle, and these are all his buddies with the Green Man. And sure enough, they were photographs of this guy, and he was pretty badly deformed, it's got to be said. And so I'd only done half the story in Weird Pennsylvania. And I thought, right, I really got to go back and revisit this at some point. Finally got a chance to In the Odyssey Continues. And it is an absolutely brilliant historical story. He was called the Green Man or Charlie No Face, but his name was actually Ray. And there's a kid, just a really young kid, in the 19-teens, so this was a long, long time ago. He climbed up a high voltage pylon. You know, I think it was either a trolley, electric trolley line, or it was a relay station to feed electricity to the whole town. Either way, he'd been shocked, and quite badly and thrown from the thing, and his face had been all burned up and everything. And it was, you know, I saw newspaper articles about this guy, and this boy had a terrible accident. He was looking for bird's eggs up in this electrical station, and had been thrown off. And he was not expected to live, but he did. You know, his face was pretty badly messed up. He lost both his eyes, and this kind of stuff. But apparently, you know, he kept himself busy during the day. He obviously, you know, for 50-odd years he lived after this, maybe even longer than that. He kept himself busy, but, you know, he wanted to go out walking, so he went out walking at night because he was blind anyway. He didn't need to see where he was going. But he'd kind of keep himself hidden. Well, of course, you go out walking at night and, you know, people are going to see you. So, yeah, and people got freaked out because he was pretty badly messed. His face was pretty badly messed up. It was a real story, and it got kind of heartwarming, because what had happened was, you know, so people would give him grief, you know, either because they were scared or they'd go out looking for trouble. And what would happen is a gang of local kids would go out walking with him, and they'd give him a beer, they'd, you know, share cigarettes with him and this kind of stuff, and they'd run interference and make sure no one gave him any trouble. And they had all these photographs taken, like this person that they met, you know, sort of in the doing the signing on Weird Pennsylvania. And so it turned into what I'd originally thought was an urban, you know, local legend, to a real story that was kind of heartwarming in the end. So we went full circle. And there's a photograph of this guy in The Odyssey Continues. I just really like that story because it kept changing on me over the five years since I've been studying it. So,
now Matt, that is in Weird Pennsylvania and Weird Odyssey.
That's right, yeah.
We only have a couple more minutes left, unfortunately. But I wanted to ask you, you actually told us about a place last time you were on, and you told me about it when we talked the other day, about where you had your one real paranormal experience.
Yes, that's right. And weirdly enough, it was on Father's Day 2 years ago. I'd gone up to this place, the U.S. Hotel in Hollidaysburg, that's in central to western Pennsylvania. And I'd written a story about this based on somebody else's experience there. And I went out there with my buddy Joel Rickenbach, who is the editor of Erie, Pennsylvania, which is Erie with two E's. It's a magazine that he puts out. And we'd gone up there to, you know, basically look at the real story, investigate it for ourselves. We had a lovely meal that night, because it's a restaurant, and it used to be a hotel. I don't think it's not a residential hotel anymore, but on the ground floor there's a bar and a restaurant, and then the upper floor, it used to be hotels going back to the 1800s. Hotel rooms, there are a lot of stories there and a lot of paranormal activity. And I spent basically the past 5 years rewrite all these ghost stories. I've never had a paranormal experience, and, you know, sort of, I've basically spent all this time trying to get haunted and failed. On this particular day, I was a little wigged out, but, you know, it's nothing special. You know, there was a door that stuck maybe a little bit, and then, you know, sort of, and then would open. Something that felt like maybe a little resistance and that kind of thing. We poked around a lot of the rooms, interviewed the granddaughter of the owner, and basically went away. 3 days later, it was the Wednesday after, I was there on the Sunday, I was in hospital with this weird heart condition thing going on, and it was frightening. I mean, my heart was racing, they gave me a drug to slow it down. I was in hospital for two solid days. My buddy was, I called him later and said, sorry, I've been out of touch here, but, you know, I've been sick. It was weird. I was sick as well. He was sick with something completely different, at exactly the same time. And I said, well, that's a weird coincidence. Okay, I'm just going to transcribe our interview with this woman. And, you know, and she spoke about two stories from this place. One is that there are ghosts in the U.S. hotel that will follow you home.
Okay.
And I thought, well, that's kind of scary now, isn't it? And there was another one that was called the Sick Woman Room, and people get sick when they go in there. And yeah, at that point, I got one of those creepy feelings of, yeah, oh my goodness, that's just a little too coincidental to completely dismiss that.
Well, you know, I think that's
going to freak... It shouldn't feel like it at that point.
I think that's going to freak Gowan out a little bit, Jason, because I just got done telling him how curses and things like this usually take 3 days to catch up to you. So...
Oh, really? Oh, brother. Yeah, okay. Thanks a lot, guys. You got me freaked out. I'm on the air.
And Gowan's a little afraid of that because he doesn't want... I threatened to curse him, and he said that... He said he wasn't afraid of it because he... What was it? You had zombie-proofing, Gowan?
Yeah, I have zombie-proof armor. I like Iron Man.
Well, Matt, we're going to have to wrap up, unfortunately, because I hate to do it because we love having you on the show. But when we're back after all our filming and everything like that, we'd love to have you back again.
Sounds like a plan.
And, you know, it's people, if you want to check out any of Matt's books, of course, you can check out Weird Pennsylvania, Weird Maryland, Weird England, not Weird New England.
England? Weird
What's
England.
What's
up, Governor?
It's the only weird book I know of that was written outside the country.
It is, yes.
And, of course, the new, the wonderful, the great, the Weird U.S., the Odyssey, spelled with two D's, continues. Matt, can you hang on the line while we finish up?
Yeah.
Folks, don't forget you can check out Matt's books at www.weirdus.com. Sean,
weirdus.com?
That's right. Sean, it's that time for us to thank everybody tonight for joining us for the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
Well, I guess so. We had Matt on the air. Oh, my God, guys, I'm going to miss you for a month. It's going to be a rough time. But, hey, you're going to be able to check us out real, real soon. And be sure to check out our website at www.ghostanddemon.com and log in our forums because me, Gowan, and Nathan, and Matt Lake, we want to hear from you.
Matt, we're going to miss you. Gowan, do you have any words to say before we close down for a month?
I'd just like to say... all of you are beautiful, and I would like to come to each of your houses and give you a great big kiss.
And that's really scary, because Gowan would do it.
They want to hear the fart machine. I'm giving it to them. They want to hear it.
They need their fill of it
Matt
before we
understands.
Wrap up. But don't forget, folks, if you missed this or any Ghostman and Demon Hunter show, you can catch it at Planet Paranormal. That's www.planetparanormal.com. We also have archives on Podomatic, Podcast Alley, iTunes, Mediafly, Podbean, Blueberry, Podcast Pickle, the Podfeed Community, the Para X Radio Network, and the Black Vault Radio Network.
I guess I add my own 2 cents here, huh?
I guess so.
Okay, guys. Hey, we're going to miss you, but we will be back. Hey, don't go changing ghost hunters. We won't. We love you.
Good night, everybody.
Night, guys. Have a great week and a month.
So say good night to the bad guy.
Well, I don't like much where I work. I'm wasting my precious time. I'm working day in and slaving day out, and I'm losing my worried mind. Telling me what to do just makes me want to say to those heathens and hooligans, you won't get the hell out of here. Bother someone else for a while now, brother, I can use a beer. I don't need you and I don't need this. I want to make this perfectly clear. Listen up, people.